When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, so we have a small change in our scheduled rotation here. Last week, I told you that we were going to hear a series of 1,000-year-old vampire by an all-new GM to the One Shot Podcast Network. Now, that's still going to happen, but we have a very special treat for you this week. We are starting a new series because we want to help promote the Indiegogo that is going on for this particular game, Pit Crawler, by MacGuffin & Co. This means that the one, the only, James D'Amato is back playing a session with Sasha from MacGuffin. Quick caveat, James was recording on the wrong mic for the first half of this, so the audio is not quite up to our normal quality, but it gets better in the third and fourth sessions of this. So, with that in mind, sit back, relax, and let's get into some Pit Crawler.
Alright, heroes, let's meet our party for this week, and the party is small because we are just recording with Sasha Sienna of MacGuffin & Co. Sasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
I am so excited to have you. Like, I think we've exclusively had you for games that you have designed.
I think that's true, yeah.
Well, and the first one I had such a good time with, so, like, I am very excited to dive back into this. Before we talk about the game and all of that, I want to know, are there any projects that you would like to plug up to and including, of course, what we are about to play?
Well, funny you should say. We're about to play a game that I would love to plug. It is called Pit Crawler. As we record this, it is currently funding on Indiegogo. And as this goes out, it will most likely be available for pre-order. Backing, if you like, on Indiegogo also. And you can find it, if you like what you hear, at igg.me/@pitcrawler, or just by Googling Pitcrawler. That also works.
That is lovely. And I feel we would be remiss if we did not mention that MacGuffin & Co. has produced many fine games and, like, gaming. I usually don't know how to define setting books, but I guess gaming accessories isn't inaccurate. There's lots of cool stuff, some stuff that I have contributed to.
Yes, you have. Yeah, I also never know how to describe the settings that we do. Like, we've got them in an anthology, and every single time we have to submit it to a retailer or an award, it's like, what is this? And it's like, I don't know, man.
Usually it's a book. What I say to people, like, when they ask me about it is, I go, it's an anthology of micro settings. So it's really digestible RPG settings that give you enough for you to unfold your own stories, which I think is my preferred. Whenever I receive any setting information, really what I want is something that will allow me to have my first idea and then kind of get out of the way, which is exactly kind of what I felt going through my copy of it.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, we very much wanted something that was somewhere between a one-shot and a game that's intended to be played over, like, a year-long campaign. So all of these are very much intended to be kind of short runs, like mini-series. So they all come with a campaign that's got 3 to 4 main adventures, but then there's lots of ideas for you to spin off into one-shots if you want, or extend your campaign to a couple of months, or just do your own thing with it.
Yeah, and you can find all of that over at MacGuffin, and that's M-A-C, and not M-C, Guffin and Company.com. It's, again, Johnny and Sasha are delightful folks, and I have loved basically everything they've made that I have seen thus far. But with that out of the way, I want to turn more towards Pitcrawler, which is a very classic kind of adventure fantasy game. And to get us started and do an icebreaker, get to know you better, Sasha, I want to know, what is your favorite sort of like foundational fantasy fiction?
So I have several different answers to this depending on how loosely you're defining fantasy fiction, I think. Because I think, unfortunately, I think the actual answer is Star Wars.
Okay, yes.
Which I do kind of count as fantasy rather than science fiction.
There's no science
in those films.
It's space fantasy. There's no science in that world. Sure.
Yeah, it's space fantasy. Yeah, that was a very foundational. Well, the original trilogy was very foundational to me, to the point that I am now fully invested in the world. And it's not something I'm proud of, because as a fandom, it is the worst place in the world. But and to be fair, as a media property, it's got some problems. But, you know, no one loves to hate Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. Unfortunately, yeah. I'm so in it.
You know, I think poetically, it is like popcorn. It's not especially good for your body, but, you know, no one can fault you for eating it, so.
No, and there is a lot to talk about. Not all of it, wow, wasn't that great, but definitely a lot to say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is, like, I have to agree with you there. I was on a Star Wars show for 4 years, so immersed in it. Once the hooks are in you, it's really hard to get them out.
And because it's so embedded in pop culture now, and it had, like, the original trilogy has been such an influence on so much. Once the hooks are in you, more hooks keep following. It just keep staying in there.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it like Star Wars, I would compare to Dungeons and Dragons in the same way, in that it's this like beautiful media property that is kind of derivative of these like same foundational ideas. But these days it is how people encounter those concepts for the first time. Mm. And I think it's because it does them really well in an accessible way. Like, you know, we could argue the quality of it, but like, does it make it easy to consume? Yes. And I think there is something wonderful about that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, great. Well, let's, with that idea in mind, let's talk about Pitcrawler.
Great. Well, so Pitcrawler is our two-player, choose-your-own-adventure-inspired RPG. It is high fantasy and high chaos. And there's no canon setting in Pitcrawler. Instead, the GM and the player kind of develop their own world as they go, according to certain principles. The kind of biggest principle to know about is everything is ruled by wizards. Wizards are basically all powerful. Each one rules over their domain. You are not a wizard. You are very much just a mundane person at the mercy of these overlords, essentially.
Ah, you've invented capitalism.
Yeah, it's a very thinly veiled metaphor for billionaires. So you, the player, are the pit crawler, because we were joking around at some point about, you know, this idea of the adventuring party in, for instance, games like D&D. They're often presented as these, like, heroic figures, but we were joking around about, well, who is it that would actually crawl into a tomb in search of treasure? Who is it that would go into a ruined castle that we know is overrun by monsters just in case they get some gold pieces? And it was people who don't really have any other options, or people who have so little sense and self-preservation that they would just do that anyway.
Yeah. Okay, listening to that foundation of the setting, I have a request about our game already, especially like looking at wizards through the lens of these are the magical fantasy equivalent of billionaires. I kind of like the idea of the profession of pit crawling being something that spawned from wizards are so powerful and have so much that their empires are like so vast and sprawling, they can't really keep track of anything. So essentially what I'm doing as a pit crawler is a wizard is like, I need you to go through my house and get my remote control. If you can come back and bring me my remote, you might die. You will probably die, actually, because there are monsters everywhere.
It's like those apps where you just like get somebody to come and do a little task for you.
Exactly, exactly. But nearly everything is lethal because you also happen to collect toothy goops that devour everyone on site.
There's like a little notice board and it says pit crawler without the E.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I really like that. Okay. So presumably pit crawlers like yourself are people who don't really have anything else to do and so must essentially work this gig economy of finding stuff for their local wizard or traveling around different domains, different realms,
yeah,
just doing odd jobs for wizards.
Yeah, and like kind of the only esteem that you get out of it is like entirely self-imagined.
Yeah.
Because the wizard's always like, oh great, you got my remote, cool, that's all I needed you for. Why did it take you 4 months?
I like the idea that maybe there's a bit of a risk involved in that quite often wizards may have lost their remote behind the back of the couch, but they might also have lost, you know, a few gems or some gold, and it's kind of a bit of a risk on, well, do you take them not knowing whether or not the wizard knows they were there?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cool, okay, that's very fun. I thought that we would make a character for you on the pod, because it's quite quick. And a lot of it involves rolling to find out exactly what kind of mundane working class hero, in heavy air quotes, you will be.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Let's get to it.
Okay, so first of all, we're going to start with assigning your qualities. So pit crawlers in Pit Crawler have 5 qualities: fists, feet, fingers, face, and heart. Fists being how kind of punchy and fighty you are, feet being how fast you are, fingers being how dexterous you are, face being how charismatic you are, and heart being, well, how much heart you have, how much hope and willpower and that sort of thing. Also, you can use your heart to boost other roles by putting your heart into it if you really care and want to succeed, in which case you'll roll your heart as well as that other quality. But if you fail, it automatically becomes a critical failure.
Ooh, I love that.
It's the only way to critically fail in Pit Crawler.
What a delight. What a delight.
So we're going to start by rolling a d10. So all these qualities are going to be assigned dice types, and that's going to be what you roll. And I'll be giving you target numbers based on the difficulty of whatever it is you're doing.
All right, I have retrieved my d10.
Okay, so if you could roll that for me.
That is a 10.
A 10. Lucky you, you have a d10 in heart.
Ah, yes. I am going to critically fail so much.
And could you now roll me a d8?
All right. I swear to you, that is an 8.
Okay, that is a face.
Okay.
You have a d8 in face. And now, could you roll me a d6?
That is a 1.
Oh, a 1. Okay, that's your fists. So you have a d6 in fists. And lastly, could you roll me a d4?
That's a 4.
A 4. Okay, so that's fingers. You have a d4 in fingers. And the one that's left is feet. That one's a d12.
Okay.
So you are very, very speedy. Not very dexterous, but you are quite charismatic and you do have a lot of heart. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you to roll a bunch of D100s on our random tables. So this is going to be your background, who you were before you became a pit crawler. So could you roll me a D100, please?
Ooh, okay. I got a 49.
Okay, that is a gravedigger. Okay. So that's what you were doing before you were a pit crawler. And that means...
Yeah, mostly I was the type of guy who, like, when I saw nobles lamenting the loss of their friends, came out and tried my type 5.
and that has obviously not gone brilliantly for you.
No. I was immediately fired.
So you will now get to choose a couple of expertises, and then we're going to roll randomly for the rest. I'm going to give you 5, and you can choose 2 of them. So endurance, intimidation, medicine, religion, and sleight of hand.
I'm going to go with endurance.
Nice.
And I think sleight of hand.
Okay. And you will also start the game with a lantern and a shovel.
Love this. I brought this shovel from home. All right. That's written down.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to roll another D100 to get a new expertise.
That is 37.
Okay, 37 is history.
All right.
So I guess you're also the person that carves all the gravestones with pertinent details.
That makes sense. Well, I'm, you know, also like as a gravedigger, like it really is expected for your job that you got to go out there, you got to do your type 5. So you really have to know kind of everything about everyone that you might be talking to do really personal jokes about death. And the turnover rate for this job is insane, for sure.
Those that live by the grave,
end up
well, they get fired real quick. I am now going to ask you to roll for a couple more random items. So you get 5 item slots as a starting adventurer. So you get to roll a D100 3 times to determine what your random items are going to be.
First one is 35.
Okay, so that's going to be a game animal, brackets dead.
Okay, a dead game animal. Oh, man. And I'm just bringing it with me? Okay. Let me know if you think this is too ludicrous. What if it's an elephant?
Okay, you can have a game animal, brackets elephant.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to rule that the head, each limb, and the torso all take up different item slots.
Oh, interesting. That does make it... I mean, my vision for this is my character has this game animal and feels responsible and compelled to take it around with them, but really doesn't have much use for it because it is a dead elephant at the end of the day. But like the elephant, because it's a dead elephant, it does kind of have to stay on the cart. There's no way physically that I can take it into whatever dungeon with me. So, like, if I need something from the elephant, I have to go all the way back to the cart to grab anything. Or I'm not allowed to touch the elephant at all. It's like, I've got this elephant. It's not mine. I'm holding it for a friend. And I'm carrying it around. And I can't let anything happen to it.
Okay, this is not strictly speaking within the character creation rules of Pitcrawler. But the last thing that we're going to do is we're going to give you a companion. And one of the types of companion is a steed. As long as you're with your steed, you can have additional item slots.
Okay.
What we could do is say that your elephant is your steed.
Oh, but the elephant is dead.
But you can have the elephant be dead if you want the elephant to be dead. But it would have to, you've kind of attached roller skates to it, and you just pull it along.
Yeah.
But it carries your stuff.
Oh, okay. So the elephant is the cart. I love that.
Alternatively, what if it was just a mini elephant?
Oh, that's also very funny.
Like a cat-sized elephant.
Well, I mean, that leaves the question, like, I really do like the rule of it being a game animal. Like, that's funny to me. So the idea, I kind of like the idea that this was maybe not like, it was like a reward for a previous pit crawl that I've done where, like, I was promised a measure of gold or whatever, and the wizard's like, I don't have any gold. Here. You take this elephant. Like, I can't possibly.
The wizard thinks elephants are just as cool as gold.
Maybe the
wizard's really into taxidermy, and this is a taxidermied elephant.
The cash value of this elephant is equivalent to the amount of gold that you're seeking. Yeah. I don't know what the problem is here.
Yeah, I like it.
Cool.
Okay, so we're going with big taxidermied elephant that you carry behind you. You pull it along on wheels. Yes. And it carries your stuff. Yes. Okay, brilliant. And please roll twice more.
83
is a spyglass.
Ooh. All right. I like that.
And one more time.
That is 4.
4. You've got a backpack.
Okay, cool. A lot of containers.
Yes. You have space. So how expertises and items work, they actually both work kind of the same way, except that items can be broken and expertises cannot. So every single time you do a roll, I will give you a difficulty, which is like the target number that you want to hit. And it's 3 or 6 or 9 or 12, etc. Certain things will bump that difficulty up one step, and some things will lower it one step. Now, if you've got an item that's relevant to what you're trying to do, then you can lower it one step. If you've got an expertise that's relevant to what you want to do, you can lower it one step. So say you have the expertise fishing and you have a fishing rod as an item, and I ask you to do something with a difficulty level of 12, then it would actually be a difficulty level of 6 because it would bump down one level to 9 and then one level to 6.
Okay.
Okay. And you also receive 1d20 copper pennies.
That's a 14.
A 14. Okay, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good number of copper pennies.
Can pay off a lot of ferrymen with that, let me tell you.
14 of them, in fact.
But no, they take 2 each. You got to put them on your eyes. It's a grave digger.
Fair enough, so 7.
That's a grave digger joke. I apologize. It
Okay, and lastly, you get a companion. You've got a choice here. We've got 6 recommended starting companions, which are like the most useful and simplest to play with. You can choose one of those, or you can have the full list of companions.
Oh, you know I'm going for that full list of companions.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to rapid fire say what they are, and every time you're interested, you go stop.
Okay.
Archer, barbarian, bruiser, burglar, charmer, confidant, cook, drifter, explorer, faithful hound, herbalist, knight, merchant, musician, pet, priest, scoundrel, smith, steed, swashbuckler, tinkerer, torchbearer, warrior, and prices is a separate section.
And prices.
And prices.
I'm torn between scoundrel and knight, I think.
So a knight is somebody that can take your take physical damage for you, and a scoundrel is somebody who can help you with a feat test.
You know, actually, Sasha, because this would be, you know, probably the NPC that I'd be interacting with the most, my question to you is there one that you feel like you have the most fun playing in a wacky world?
I think ordinarily I would probably choose a scoundrel, but I feel a bit more like playing a knight today.
Let's do this.
Nice. And could you please name your knight?
Hello, heroes, and welcome to the midroll. If you are enjoying what you're hearing of Pitcrawler so far, you can back it on Indiegogo right now. The link is in the show notes. You should head over there and check it out. Everything that MacGuffin & Co. does is just pretty fantastic, and Pitcrawler is absolutely no exception. So get on over there, hit that link, and support Pitcrawler. Also, while you're out there getting copies of amazing games, James has an all-new book coming out. It is an expanded version of the Ultimate Character Backstory Guide. That means there are more exercises, there are more notes, James offers more insights, and it's generally just more of the excellent work you've come to expect from what he does. That link is also in the show notes, so head on over to James's page with Simon & Schuster, pre-order a copy now, or, even better, go to your local bookstore, pre-order it there, because local bookstores, fantastic places, definitely, definitely always need your support.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Now, with all that out of the way, let's get back to the show.
Let's go with Syrah.
Syrah.
Mm-hmm.
Do they actually, like, they don't have a name, they just go by Syrah, like Doctor Who, just going by the Doctor, or is this, like, that is their name?
I don't know if it's like Sir Ah or
right.
I kind of think we've been traveling together for years, and I don't know which it is, and it is way too awkward to ask at this point.
Yeah, so you just call them Sir Ah, and it no one knows.
Yeah, that could just be a gravedigger thing that you're saying, or it could be the name. And every time you introduce yourself, I'm like listening to like try and get it, and I never do.
Great. I'm gonna have fun with that. And the actual final thing is that you need to give yourself 7 health points.
Okay.
That's kind of, there's not kind of damage in the same way that most games use them. So like falling isn't gonna explicitly give you damage. Enemies aren't going to hit you, succeed, and give you damage. What happens is when you fail a test, then if it can hurt you, it will. It will give you 1 point of damage. But if you critically fail, then you will take 1d4 damage.
Okay.
Now your knight has 3 health points and can take damage for you and can also assist you where it's kind of relevant, you know?
Gotcha.
But if they're helping you, then they are also in danger of damage. So if you fail, then you both get hurt.
Perfect.
Now, one thing you might like to get before you leave is some food. So the way that you recover health points is any time that you sit and have a little rest and you eat some food, you can get 1 health point back.
Alrighty. And do I roll for my food items or?
No, you can choose what it is. I'm going to say you can choose. The one that's in the book is Wheel of Cheese. But I'm going to say you don't have to have a wheel of cheese. I mean, the thing is, game animal brackets dead, I'm pretty sure, is also food. I don't know why I'm saying I'm pretty sure. I wrote this game. It's food.
All right. I kind of like the idea that I've got this game animal, this dead elephant.
Yeah.
And, you know, when things get desperate, we've got like a microplane or a cheese grater. And we just scrape off some of that elephant. And, you know, you throw that in some water, boil it, you got a stew going.
I kind of like the idea that, like, you've got the elephant, but instead of the elephant being your food item, what the elephant actually is like a traveling mini kitchen. So what you have the elephant, but what you actually have is the elephant laden with camping cookware equipment, like a camping stove and lots of pots and pans and a selection of herbs and spices. Like, you unroll a little blanket that you put on the elephant, and it's like all the way down its leg, it's just herbs and spices.
I love this even more, that this wizard paid us off in their old camping gear that they don't use any longer.
And it just so happened to be arranged on an elephant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's probably pretty popular for this world, is like a lot of what we think of as devices are like animals that were sacrificed to turn into a device. Like, like your mobile phone in this world is a bird that, you know, will tweet out your bad opinions to people. But like, you had to do this ritual to convert the bird it this way. This is just like a converted elephant. It's like the equivalent of an RV. And there absolutely is a way to make the elephant move without you pulling it. But we don't know how to do that. Me and Sarah have no idea how that works. Yeah. That's wizard stuff. Yeah. And we have an instruction manual. The instructions are in there, but it does state for wizards only. And both Sarah and I are like too hard line on, we would never dream. We would never dream.
That would be against the rules.
That's against
the rules. Would you also walk across a lawn with a don't step on the grass sign?
I don't think so.
I love that. Okay, so in this world, we have invented, I mean, the world has capitalism, essentially, mm-hmm. with the wizards. And now we've also got caravanning and Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
the most important thing.
Well, thank goodness we're set. Okay, the adventure that we will be playing today is entitled Mystery of the Awakening Flame, which is something that I rolled up on our random adventure title generator table and went from there. I've realized we don't actually have a name for your pit crawler.
Dirt.
Is that yurt?
Dirt.
Dirt. Okay.
That's not my given name. That is the name that I adopted. My former employer just sort of called me that, so I had it legally changed to avoid confusion.
That was really considerate of you.
I'm nothing if not dedicated.
So, Dirt lives in the region of Skulag. The Grand Wizard Skulag has crafted his perfect realm. Unfortunately, his perfect realm is, to everyone else, a real downer. Skulag's really into kind of goth aesthetics, dark, dank spaces, and just like the concept of misery.
Skulag is probably the youngest wizard at 13.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got a real chip on his shoulder about it.
His parents don't understand him, so that's, you know, that'll happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would have understood him, but he cast a spell that meant that they basically just bring him snacks now. They're kind of robots. So he lives at the center of the realm in this absolutely massive... It's a mountain that looks like it should be a volcano, but if you get up close, it's very clear that actually the lava is just a kind of light effect, kind of twinkling up at the top there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge... skull-shaped entrance, and you have to walk in through the teeth which open for you as you come in. The rest of the realm is in the is similar aesthetic vein, but like less so. So everyone else has smaller little mountains. Imagine hobbit holes, but pointy and miserable. So you, Dirt, live in one of these little misery holes. And does Sarah live with you or elsewhere in the realm?
I like the idea that Sarah lives in, like, it's Sarah's misery hole.
Oh, okay.
I sublet, like, a closet.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's, like, a little cavern at the back, and you kind of have to crawl through a little tunnel to get to it.
It's a scullery, which for most people would mean a place where they store food. In this particular region, because of the creativity, I would say, of Skulag, it is just a portion of each misery hole where there are just skulls embedded into the wall.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the realm of Skulag is incredibly cold, damp, and dark. Light sources do not usually work here. Fire does not catch. It's like every single bit of kindling is wet, you know. Okay, that ends the extent of my fire making knowledge. But other sources of fuel are also wrong.
The only thing we have access to is glow stick technology. Like,
yes, there are glow sticks, yeah. And you do have essentially some of those like microwavable heat packs. Not microwave ones, you know, the ones that you crack them and then stick them on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have some of those. So you kind of have to wear those.
Good.
And I imagine if you're cooking, you also have to like crack them and stick them on your food. So, is this, are we going to say this is your first pick roll? No, it's not going to be your first pick roll because you won the elephant.
Won the elephant.
And the camping equipment.
We are experienced company men, anti-union, very anti-union.
Skalag will be so happy to hear that.
Yeah. We're full on scabs. Anywhere there's pit crawling, we're, in fact, exclusively scabs. We will leave a stable job if we hear there's an opportunity to scab somewhere else.
Okay, great news. So there's currently a strike going on among the pit crawlers in the realm.
I'll bet those selfish people would like to heat their homes with flames. Unbelievable.
They would. They'd absolutely love that. So what's Sarah's next door neighbor called?
Sarah's next door neighbor is Hesiant. Hesiant is, I think she has been transformed into something in some way.
Oh, nice. Okay. She's been transformed into a skeleton, but she's been transformed into one of those skeletons where it's a girl skeleton in a cartoon. So she's still got long hair and is inexplicably wearing some sort of bra.
Yes.
She's really annoyed about this because it makes no sense.
I just love the idea of this wizard. How's anyone going to tell if she's a girl?
Yeah. Like he did it and then she's just a skeleton and he's like, well, no, I can't tell the difference between her and all the other skeletons I made today.
From now on, old girl skeletons have boobies.
And for some reason, also long eyelashes.
Yes!
But because this is a, you know, a feminist podcast, we like to be gender neutral here, all of the male skeletons will also very clearly have six packs.
Yeah. I like that six pack. You know, I think this 13-year-old wizard has very strange ideas about, like, is open to like all forms of gender. Like, there are non-binary skeletons as well, but they have very particular markers of what they think those signifiers should be.
Yeah, the non-binary skeletons have an undercut.
Yeah, they've got hair. They have hair to have an undercut, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so Hesiant is a she-her skeleton, and so has long hair, eyelashes, and a bra. And so she is a pit crawler. She was a pit crawler. And you can actually, as you're kind of crawling through the tunnel out of your little scullery cavern in Sarah's house, you can just see Sarah there cracking a couple of heat packs, sticking them on some kind of a pot, making tea. And or rather dirt coffee. And dirt as in the actual dirt, not dirt as in you, your character.
And I have realized these heat packs, like all devices and technology we've established, must be animals. So essentially, yes. Like a heat pack is like a dead squirrel that you have to like smack against the table until it like heats up and they just burn themselves out and shrivel up.
Oh, I'm going to say for my own emotional well-being that all of these animals died of natural causes, but that once they have died of natural causes, that's what happens.
Okay. I mean, like, we've got this necromantic thing, so we're just kind of, like, using death energy as our power source. So,
I mean, you're like, scavengers, right?
If you're not a pit crawler, the other big profession has to be, like, collector of roadkill.
Has to be just collector of roadkill, yeah. And turning them into heat packs. So Sarah is there cracking a couple of squirrels, waiting for them to heat up. And these ones are the good type, so they've also got the glow stick technology, so their fur also becomes like glow in the dark when they get cracked.
I like it. It's like their eyes and mouth hole just like emanate.
Nice,
this.
Yeah, just like little beams coming out. That and also their butt.
Yeah, any orifice. It's just truly, truly horrible to behold.
Let's just make this the worst it can be. And then through the fissures, you know, between Sarah's misery hole and Hesiant's misery hole, next door, you can start to hear, you know, some organizing. There's sounds of that. She's obviously got quite a few people. They're knocking into each other, and you hear it does sound like bone on bone. They're probably largely skeletons, and they're all kind of grumbling, and they seem to be constructing something. You can't tell what, but there's noises coming from construction.
Howdy there, neighbor.
Oh God, how does a skeleton speak? Yes, hello. Good morning, Dirt.
Couldn't help but notice you've got a bit of a commotion going on there. Heard some bone on bone. Thought maybe this is an orgy, maybe it's none of my business, but does seem like you're making a few signs. Signage, which is,
well, actually,
spuriously legal.
If you would like to know, it may well be your business. We are members of a new group.
I love groups. I love belonging to groups.
Pit crawlers in serious shenanigans.
Oh, okay. All right.
We are starting a union.
Wow.
Oh, no, actually, I've got a better one. Pit crawlers union for Skullogs shenanigans. Yikes.
Oh, okay, and obviously, wow, obviously this is a union sort of requesting that pit crawlers not be paid too much or receive too many services?
Quite the opposite. This is a union requesting that pit crawlers be paid properly. No longer shall we be paid in taxidermied animals. No longer shall we find ourselves without flesh. No longer shall this ridiculous gender nonsense happen to skeletons. If I'm going to be a skeleton, then I want to be able to dress the way I want.
Oh, okay. Look, I understand work can be stressful. And hey, I've got flesh. We all love having flesh. Nobody here says that having flesh is a bad thing. But I think we should consider Skullog's role in all this. Imagine if you were an all-powerful wizard. You'd want people to obey your every whim and command, right?
If I was an all-powerful wizard, I would want to rule this realm with fairness and justice and workers' rights.
It's very easy to say that as somebody who doesn't have to deal with the stresses of being an all-powerful wizard.
Well, I think that you, as a pit crawler, would quite like to would do well to join this union. We're going to be going outside of Skullog's Mountain right today, and we're going to be protesting as much and as loudly as we can. Look, I've made this placard.
He like squints to read the placard and goes, "I don't know what I'm squinting. I don't know how to read."
Hesiod, don't you have work today? Aren't you supposed to go on a crawl?
Well, we're not working. We're striking.
Okay, but striking as in, like tearing down a set for a play of some kind?
Striking as in no pit crawlers are going to work until our resolutions are met.
Okay, well, Hesiod? You know, I guess have a wonderful day. I'm gonna talk to Sarah for reasons unrelated to this conversation, and have a nice day.
And Dirt like sort of like scrambles into the house, and Dirt, you know, like we've established, lives in sublets the scullery from beneath Sarah's house, and Dirt very much believes in social hierarchies and orders and is not allowed to like open the door to Sarah's place, but does cram himself in the pet door. Like, so, you know, I feel like Dirt is a very like crammy, skulky sort. So like, just sort of like pulls himself through the door. Sarah, we've got a job opportunity. A bunch of people are striking. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for.
The This episode of One Shot features music from the following artists. Lauterbrunnen by Cody Martin. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. That's it for One Shot this week, but don't worry, we'll be back with part two of Pit Crawler next week.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.
As always, we end One Shot with a call to action, and heroes, this one is just going to be very, very simple. Go to 5calls.org, find the issues that matter to you, and call your representatives. It can be challenging, it can be intimidating, and there are so many things that need time and attention right now. I get it. 5calls has a rundown of everything that you can support, and even if there's not one listed on there, you can still take one of their script templates and you can adapt it for an issue that you care passionately about. Our representatives need to hear from us. It's an easy way to make your voice heard. So go on to 5calls.org, make your calls, and make a difference. Thanks, heroes. If you enjoyed this show, you should check out some of the other shows on the One Shot Podcast Network. Shows like Session Zero. Session Zero is a discussion podcast that seeks to explore the psychology of role-playing. Each episode will feature role-playing concepts, stories, and tropes viewed through the lens of psychology by clinical psychologist Porter Green and industrial organizational psychologist Steve Discont. Join us on the couch for the next session.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at gamemaster@oneshotpodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.